Hey, happy Wednesday. Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. Today, a spring game preview podcast as we get you set. The weather looks like it's going to be nice for Saturday, 1 o'clock kick at Jack Trice Stadium, the Iowa State spring game. And, of course, this podcast is brought to you by our good friends at A-Plus Lawn and Landscape, our spring football sponsor here at CycloneFanatic.com, bringing you all of our coverage of the Cyclones. I actually got my my spring fertilizer thrown down by A-Plus Lawn and Landscape last week. Timed it out perfectly before all the rain came in. So thanks to our good friends there at A-Plus Lawn and Landscape. They're based out of Ankeny. They do great work all around the Des Moines metro. They are highly recommended by yours truly. I've used A-Plus Lawn and Landscape for going on 5 years now, ever since I moved into my house here in Bondurant. Jared Stansberry joins me today as we, again, plan to discuss some things to keep an eye on when it comes to the spring game on Saturday. First of all, the biggest news going into it, Jared, is the fact that the weather's going to be nice, because there's nothing worse than crappy weather on a spring game, and it looks like it's going to be sunny and 70.
Mostly sunny, high of 69. Nice.
Yeah, that's tough to beat. That's tough to beat.
It looks like Friday is going to be the first time that we've seen the sun, too, since I got back to Central Iowa.
Man, I got a dog and a kid that are just going stir crazy.
Yeah.
We got to get some good weather around here. It's been depressing.
The only problem is that when we get back to Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we're right back in the same thing.
Jeez.
Well, it's crazy. Just think how nice February was.
I know.
Then all of a sudden in March, it's just crap all the time.
We're paying for it now, man. We're paying for it now. We'll get a break, though, on Saturday. Let's start with the offense. Is some stuff to look forward to. You weren't there for it, but did you hear the Jacob Park interview?
Yeah.
The one I've made a huge deal about.
I listened to the podcast. Yeah, we're anxiously waiting your column on Jacob Park.
Man, my goal is to have that done on Thursday, and it's currently Wednesday.
Yeah. You guys, I was going to say, I think half the day since I've been back at work, you said, I have my Jacob Park calm today.
I've been so busy with just a bunch of this time of year is when I'm focusing on making our site better, much more so than creating content. That's what you're here for. And I've been I was on like a 2-hour conference call yesterday. I'm trying to improve the performance of our site so we can keep it free and doing all this. So I promise Jacob Park column is coming. But I'm super optimistic about him.
I am too.
The thing about him, like when you're a summer JUCO lineman or receiver, it's really hard to play.
Right.
When you're a summer JUCO and you haven't played competitive ball in over 2 years and you're a quarterback in the Big 12, it's damn near impossible to put up the numbers that he did with that line. Impress the hell out of me. Now, I'm not crowning him.
No.
Jacob still has a lot to do mentally and leadership-wise before this is his team.
Yeah.
But the interview that I heard a couple weeks ago showed me that he's making progress significantly. Watching Tom Manning's interview after the scrimmage on Saturday got me even more optimistic. And the thing I love about Jacob Park is the same thing I like about Campbell, is he really, that whole line, and it's just talk, I get it, but like, oh, we expect to win every game. He looked at me when I asked him that question like I was a total idiot.
Yeah. Well,
I love that.
I think the thing that I like about him is that he doesn't sugarcoat anything.
No, he does not.
And that's something that has been – well, and the other thing is he'll walk up there with confidence. And like you said, if you ask him a question that he thinks stupid, he'll look at you like, are you serious, dude?
He is, like, attitude-wise, he's Steele Jantz but more charismatic.
Yeah.
And I mean that as a compliment, because Steele, even when he was struggling, thought he was the best player in the country.
Yeah. Well, and I think about the quarterbacks that I've been around since I've been here. Joel wasn't quite like this, but like Sam Richardson, Grant Rohatch, like they're all just like nice guys, and they come in for interviews and they answer your questions and they're kind of quiet, and it's like
Park tells you you're an idiot, basically.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And he comes in and he's like, I think I'm a great player. I think that I think our team's going to be really good, and that's all there is to it. I don't care what you say.
And I get why our local media has to spend as much time on Joel Lanning as we have, because for obvious, it's an interesting story. He's a local kid. He's a nice kid. People want to read about it. I don't remember. I think it was Tommy. I'm not sure who it was. Asked Park. Hey, oh, it was Dave Sproul. Asked Park, have you gotten hit by Lanning yet? Are you looking? And Park's like, I don't care. He goes, getting hit doesn't bother me. Why would I? Dave was just trying to get a good cut about Lanning playing linebacker from, and Park didn't bite at all. Park's like, well, no, you can hit me. I don't give a damn.
Yeah.
It was awesome, man. Like I fell in love with the idea of what Jacob Park could be during that interview. Now, clearly a lot has to happen for him to be that guy, but I'm excited because the thing is, it's like the mental aspect of it. He wasn't ready to play last year, and he still looked okay. And that was as bad of an offensive line as I've seen in years. Now, it got better, and it was serviceable at the end of the year, especially when it came to pass protection. I understand that, but it was still bad. Mm-hmm. It was still really bad. So just getting better guys around him is going to make him better. And then if he grows the way I think he's going to, I think he could have a special couple of years.
Well, and I think that's what has a lot of people in the building feeling good about what he can do as well. Because, I mean, even at the end of last season, it was a couple months after the season, but people were telling me, like, they were confident that he could be one of the better quarterbacks to ever come through Iowa State by the time that he's done, just because based on his pure physical tools. You know, if he and the receivers, like having the receivers isn't going to be the problem. It is going to be those five guys that are in front of him.
Correct.
And I think that this year they've got a chance to have a group that could be pretty good. And if not this year, but definitely next year.
Good stuff. The running, Zeb Nolan probably not going to play much.
No.
He might play. He's not going to get hit.
If he has to play. Then
your boy,
in the spring game, you mean? He's not going to play? Okay, for sure.
Your boy, Kyle Kemp, apparently has had a really nice spring.
He's still a walk-on, isn't he?
Yeah, but I've heard rumblings that he could legitimately be the backup quarterback next year.
That makes sense. Now, he's a senior.
I still think that if, God forbid, something would happen to Park in the summer and he's out, they would move Joel back.
For sure.
I still believe that, but it sounds to me like, you know, if it's Wednesday of game week – and you need to make a quarterback change because Park gets hurt or suspended or whatever. For some reason, he can't play. I think it's very realistic that this Kyle Kemp could be the next quarterback. So I would encourage fans on Saturday to watch him.
Well, and he's another guy that he's interesting because he clearly had the physical tools in high school to make people believe that he could be a pretty dang good college quarterback.
Absolutely.
I mean, Mike Riley is – I think that you would agree with me. He's a guy that has been good at evaluating quarterback talent, and for him to go out and get him at Oregon State, that said a lot to me.
Yeah.
Even though he didn't, I don't think he really played very much when
he
went to Hutchinson. But, if he got into a position where it's like he has to be on the field, I bet he could do at least good enough to keep everything from falling apart.
What are we gonna watch for at wide receiver? Hakeem Butler, I think that he's a guy who I would zero in on as major upside for the 2017 season. I would keep an eye on him. As far as Lazard and Deshaunte Jones, I think you know what you're getting. I'm interested in young guys. That's what I watch at the spring game.
I'd be interested to see Jalen Martin, redshirt freshman.
Yeah.
That's
a good note.
Interesting to keep an eye on. From everything that I've heard, Marchie Murdoch.
He's had a big spring.
Yeah, he's had a really good spring. I'm interested to see what kind of progress that he's made.
Number one guy I'm watching on Saturday, perhaps, is Matt Eaton.
Yeah.
The JUCO.
I saw a picture of him with a big old brace on his knee.
Ruh-roh.
I think it was him, at least.
Well, that sucks. So maybe I won't watch him.
We never asked him about anything like that, but I'm pretty. Yeah, I'm not.
All right.
If I was completely wrong, then I apologize for giving everybody a heart attack. But
yeah,
I thought that I saw him with
There's
a brace on his knee.
Really, nothing you can watch on the offensive line in a spring game.
No.
So can we just?
I do think that there was some encouraging things this spring for the offensive line, though. Like for a guy like Ogie, too. It seems like he's starting to really get things together.
You know, I was told when they got the two grad transfers, and obviously Rodgers is no more.
Yeah.
I was talking to one of my birdies in the program about the offensive line, and this was in like December or November.
Uh-huh.
It would have been December in the heavy recruiting period there. And the name Ogie kept getting brought up as a guy who they're like, you know, we're not counting on him, but we're really optimistic because he had a really good at the end of last fall. He was really starting to come into his own. We really need him to have a good spring, and it sounds like he has.
Well, and he was another one of those guys that was a JUCO guy that got on campus late, and it's just, and like you said, it's just hard to be to play when you get on campus that late.
It's impossible almost.
Yeah,
when you're that close to the ball, and that's a concern to me about Tongamoa.
Okay, yeah. He's supposed to be here in the summer, though, isn't he?
He is, yeah, but that's still...
Yeah, that's true.
The difference between Ray Lima and Tongamoa,
just based off of
having a spring and all that winter conditioning.
Yeah.
I mean, he was... who the hell is the line coach? God, I've covered too many of these staffs now.
Eli Rashid?
Yeah, Rashid.
Yeah.
Rashid. Talked to him last week.
Yeah.
Or 2 weeks ago. And that, I mean, that's his... Tongamoa is a Big 12 football player. He can come in and... But he's got to be in shape. Otherwise, he's going to be a one snap per series guy, and you need more than that right now at Iowa State.
He's the guy that that I feel like is going to – he'll be out there on the field in, like, the first game, but it won't be until, like, game five or six.
Classic.
Where you really see him and you're like, wow, this guy's really freaking
Jared,
good.
The longer you do this, especially when you cover Iowa State, when they're bringing in spring or summer JUCOs a lot, there is a blueprint to these guys.
Yeah.
And it almost always works. Park is such an anomaly how he did that last year. Tongamoa, that's my prediction. As talented as he is, I agree with you. It'll take him till game six before he's truly in form.
Well, I remember when Jalston Thomas came.
Yep.
Everybody was like, this guy's gonna be so awesome.
I was told.
And then his first practice, he was out there puking all over the field.
The problem with Jalston was Jalston.
Yeah.
He, I think, would admit that.
Yeah.
This day. Jalston Thomas will play in the NFL.
Oh, for sure.
And if he would have ever clicked and figured it out before,
yeah,
like he could have been an all Big 12 type of player at Iowa State. I remember when they signed him, they're like, I had guys tell me like this guy could be like the difference between a win or two.
Yeah. There was times where he would make a play. I mean, he was unblockable.
Yeah.
You know?
And toward the end of the year, yeah, you're damn right he was.
Yeah. I don't know if it was like work ethic issues or what it was, but yeah, I don't think that he was quite completely bought in all the time.
Let's go to while we're talking D line. Spencer Benton, everybody's talking about. They're in love with him. He's 6'2", 245. So at 245, there's a ceiling there.
Yeah.
But he's a guy who I think will provide some really great depth in the fall. Right now, Jaquan Bailey not listed as a starter. You know he's going to start.
Right.
I think they do that. There's certain guys where you just dangle carrots out in front of, and Jaquan Bailey is clearly one of those guys.
Right.
He'll start and he'll be pretty. I love their D. Never mind. I like their D line.
Yeah.
As far as potential goes,
I'm interested to see how much Matt Leo plays, if really at all.
Yeah, I mean
sounds like they're bringing him along slow.
Even when they signed him, yeah, they're like, this guy's probably going to be in the NFL someday, but you may not see it for a year.
Yeah.
All I see when I look at Matt Leo is 6'7", 265.
He's got the body, and he's got the size to play.
And he loves the game.
Right. It's just, does he know how to play enough to be able to...
No, he doesn't right now.
Yeah, to be able to make a big impact.
I think they would be the first to tell you that.
Well, and I think that's probably the big difference between a guy like him and Spencer Benton right now is you put Spencer Benton out there, and you probably know that he's not going to do anything to hurt you, but he might not do anything that's going to like blow you away.
This is what frustrated fans often about Wally Burnham. Wally would be the guy to play Spencer Benton and keep a Matt Leo on the bench. It's kind of an old-school approach, but at least you know the guy's going to be there, right? That was why I thought Luke Knott was okay his redshirt freshman year at Iowa State in the position that he was. He was slow, and he wasn't very fast, but he was in the perfect spot every single time. Now, playing at that position ultimately shortened his career because he shouldn't have been playing there. But, you're right. It's good to have a mix of those guys.
And I think that's what makes somebody like J.D. Wagner, too.
Yeah,
he's an interesting player just because he has played a lot of football, and he doesn't really – make very many mistakes, but he's going to make enough good plays for you to notice him, but not enough bad plays for you to notice him.
If you give me the line of Jaquan Bailey, Ray Lima, Tongamoa, and Matt Leo, like that's a freak looking line.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be very good unless you have the J.D. Wagners, the Spencer Bentons, the Vernell Trents, the Jamal Johnsons to mix in there and give those guys a blow.
Well, and the interesting thing is, I mean, you think about a guy like Jamal Johnson, you bring him off the as your second defensive tackle. I mean, that's still a big boy.
Yeah, 6'1", like 318 is what he's listed at right now.
He's going to be able to come out there and clog some holes and give your top guys some rest.
Rashid,
you know?
Really liked Vernell Trent, what he's done.
Yeah.
See, this is – Vernell Trent, I mean, I have no idea what he's going to do this year. This is how Iowa State needs to develop defensive linemen. For a Vernell Trent to give you significant minutes his junior and senior year. The problem Iowa State has had with defensive linemen over the last 10 years is that they lose them.
Yeah.
So then they're having to plug guy. I always go back to this example, and a lot of our listeners probably roll their eyes because they've heard it so many times. But do you remember when Robbie Garcia started at defensive tackle?
Yeah.
As a redshirt freshman? That was an absolute embarrassment for a Big 12 football program. Mm-hmm. Nothing against Robbie, who apparently is doing really well at offensive line this spring. But – like Vernell Trent, if he goes out there and has a season like they're hoping he does, like that's a blueprint. You need to have those guys in constant development. And then you bring in your Ray Limas and those type of guys, and it's kind of a cherry on top. But those J.D. Wagners and Vernell Trents are important to have those five-year guys on your defensive line. Anyways,
interesting, I think. I mean, Vernell Trent never really was talked about before last year. So I think that something must have clicked for him. Since this new staff got here, that he because he got talked a lot about even in fall camp last year.
He wasn't really in very good shape.
Yeah,
and then I mean, that's the thing. He's really transformed his body apparently.
Yeah,
linebacker. We're all watching Joel Lanning.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably going to be one of the top things that I'm watching on Saturday, just to see how he looks at linebacker.
What about Tymar Sutton? I think that he's another guy.
One. I'm also interested. I really like Willie Harvey and Reagan Northrup. I think that both those guys are good, really good players.
I remember when Northrup played as a freshman, like you just watched him and you're like, that guy could be really good someday.
Right. And it's going to be interesting to see both of them in a role where they're playing Will linebacker and they don't have to do quite as much thinking. And it's just like, go out there and tackle the football, you know, and they can use their speed, use their athleticism. Both of those guys are going to – they've got – yeah. I mean, they had good years last year. And they're another year older. That will be very interesting. Linebacker is a position I'm very excited about for this team right now.
Keep an eye on Sutton. He would have played as a true freshman had he not broken his hand in fall camp. I'm very confident of that. So that could be that's one when people talk about Iowa State's weakness at linebacker. I'm not going to argue. It's not a strength right now. Mm-hmm. But Sutton's kind of an ace in the hole right now, and a lot could ride on how he plays.
They have a weakness, but I'm still intrigued by them. I'm intrigued by the guys that they have.
You at least look at it, and they've got athletes now.
Yeah.
Last year, they didn't have athletes.
Right.
You know, they didn't have guys who could run in the Big 12.
I'm still interested to see if Orion Vance could fit in there somewhere once he gets on campus as well.
Campbell was on KXNO with me the other day, and he mentioned him as a guy who could,
yeah,
at least on special teams. I think he specifically mentioned him.
He might fit in at that Leo position eventually when he gets a little bit older. But, I mean, he's as good an athlete as they have in that class. So – he might be somebody that comes in and sees the field.
Defensive backs. This isn't very interesting to me as far as – because Cotton, you know a lot of this. Cotton Moya, PV, DeAndre Payne at corner. Mm-hmm. That intrigues me. I think DeAndre Payne at corner is going to be a very bright spot for this team.
It's actually weird because we talked to John Haycock after their scrimmage the other day too, and he makes it sound like Payne's not going to play as much corner.
So who's the second quarter? Azuna?
Arnold, well, I don't know. It's that I don't know that they know for sure that they have a nickel or a star guy, you know, outside of him.
Hmm. Interesting.
I think that might be the problem right now.
That's interesting because Brian Peavy made it sound like.
Well, yeah, and that's and I listened to those interviews here, too, and that's how it sounded.
Here's my guess as to what's going on. Where the player was being honest, and that the staff probably didn't want that information out there.
Right. That would make sense. But, yeah, I'm just saying that's what Haycock said is that it sounds like he's still playing some of that star position too.
It's good to know.
But they are trying to figure out a way to get it so that he can play on the edge most of the time.
Have we heard anything about McEnroe Alexander?
No, not that I'm aware of.
I remember he was a big deal when he signed.
I actually think that Haycock might have brought him up the other day. He said Mac, I don't know if that's who he was talking about. I actually thought he was talking about somebody else. But now that I think about that, that could be who he was talking about, but I'm not 100% sure.
Arnold Azuna would be the guy who I would guess would be the starting corner if it's not DeAndre Payne.
Yeah.
He had a really good camp, or he had a really good fall on the scout team. 5'11", 183.
Well, and he was on the depth chart for a portion of the year. Bowens could maybe see the depth chart,
too. I hope they find a way to keep Payne at corner.
Yeah.
You need corners in this league.
Definitely.
I don't know. We'll see. But Payne also shown the ability to come up and hit somebody, too. So,
yeah.
He's valuable.
Well, I mean, he's going to – and that's what Haycock was talking about. It's like they're just trying to figure out the best way to get their 11 best football players on the field all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Number one thing, Jared, you will be watching for in the spring game on Saturday. Give me a couple things, I guess.
All right. Well, I said Lanning.
I think everybody's
going to be watching that one. Yeah. The other one I want to see is who's going to be the safety opposite of Cotton Moya.
Yeah.
Obviously, Mike Johnson not in the fold anymore. So.
He got kicked off, right?
Did he actually get kicked off or is he suspended?
I had forgotten completely about him.
Well, I had as well. And then I was looking at the – I was like – I Googled his name. I was like, what happened to Mike Johnson? And then I was like, oh, now I remember
what
happened to Mike Johnson.
That's a significant loss.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Thad Daniels?
Yeah, Thad Daniels will fit in there somewhere. I think they even think Everett Edwards could maybe still play some safety as well.
Yeah, he could do that.
And then my other one is I want to see what Sheldon Crony looks like as a third running back.
That's good.
We don't know what's going to happen with Kinney at this point.
Dude, man, that sucks. I was so looking forward to Kinney this year.
I know.
Of all the guys, like I probably was looking forward to watching him the most because I think that he has such a high upside.
Yeah.
I really saw them using him in like that Percy Harvin type role next year, but I don't know. I almost hope that he sits out next year now.
Well, Jalen Martin too. He's another one that I want to watch.
Okay,
Jalen Martin, the redshirt freshman receiver.
You're better on the young guys than I am.
And Chase Allen.
Chase Allen. We didn't talk about tight end's been so irrelevant at Iowa State for so long.
Right.
That's another upside for Park.
Yeah.
That's what I'm writing about in that column. It's like he didn't have a tight end last year.
He says. That's what's just crazy about this roster right now. They're going to have so many weapons on the edge, like unlike they've had in quite a while.
I want to watch Matt Eaton. He's been talked about a lot at wide receiver. So I want to see – because you have to be pretty good to crack that rotation right
now.
Is Matt Eaton really better than Hakeem Butler? Like, so I want to see that.
Right.
Because I'm high on Butler. I think he's going to be really good by the time
They've got six or seven receivers right now that would probably be able to – see the field for a lot of teams. Carson Epps, like he's another one that we haven't even talked about, you know.
I would like to just watch Ray Lima move around.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to tell anything because the line play during the spring game is just pointless because they're not really – you can't really do a whole lot. But I want to see him
move around.
Or I want to see him and Leo and just – you can generally tell if a guy's a player or not. You know, and so let's keep an eye on that. This is boring, but what about the kicker situation? What have we learned about kicker through the spring?
Well, Campbell said the other day that Garrett Owens?
Garrett Owens.
Yeah, it sounds like he's the guy right now that's kind of the leader in the clubhouse for the place kicking role, but Chris Francis is still waiting in the wings.
Owens would have been the clubhouse leader in Vegas before the season.
Yeah.
Would have been my guess, but... Francis has been around a long time, too.
Right. Well, I think he'll probably, if nothing else, he'll still be the kickoff guy. But I think that Owens might end up being the field goal kicker at this point.
Good stuff. Are we missing anything?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't think so.
Enjoy the weather. I think it'll be great. I'm really looking. I love the spring game. A lot of people will make fun of it because – you know, it really doesn't mean anything.
We're not doing any kind of tailgate or anything this year, are we?
No.
Okay.
We had complications with that last year.
Yeah, the wings.
Well, we had the wings, and then the Gridiron Club tried to get us shut down.
Yeah, I remember that now.
It was just way too much of a pain than it was worth.
Yeah.
We weren't like making any money on it or anything, and we were just wanting to do something nice for our listeners, but whatever. Yeah, I look forward to Saturday though. So later this week, I promise, guys, I'll have my Jacob Park column. I'll have a five things to watch in the spring game column on Friday. Jared's got a bunch of recruiting stuff that he's currently working on. You've got some stuff on running backs and wide receivers.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I think that Rob Gray is scheduled to talk. Should I tease the where are they now?
Yeah.
I think we've got him set to talk with Scott Kristofferson.
Yeah, I think so.
So we've got a where are they now coming up with Scotty Kristofferson, who's a cool story what he's up to now. You guys will like that. And then spring game coverage on Saturday. Fawcast will happen. I don't know when the Fawcast is happening because Mark and Adam are getting back from Mexico. I have no idea what kind of shape they're going to be in.
Adam posted on my Facebook yesterday, and I was like, shouldn't you be on a beach somewhere, man?
What
did
you post on
your Facebook? Well, me and my buddies won a basketball tournament the other day. I don't know if you saw that. But
no.
Yeah. Well, I got hurt. Remember, I told you.
Oh yeah, you told me you got hurt your foot.
Yeah, I'm okay now. I don't know what happened that night. I could barely walk though. But yeah, we won a basketball tournament. And then he was commenting on my picture, total Adam in typical Adam Gray fashion.
Just trolling.
Being a douchebag. So.
He tried FaceTiming me yesterday. I was putting my daughter down for a nap and. But I never
heard that. He just needs to get out on a beach and have a drink, man.
Jeez. If I'm in Mexico, FaceTiming and, like your coworkers, the last thing I want to do. Now, in his defense, he's there on a semi-work trip, and I use work in quotations, but it's a bunch of marketing people in Des Moines
who
he's with, so he's supposed to be conducting business while down there.
He's not going to leave again for like a year, I feel like. I mean, he's been gone all month.
No, he and I have to go to Atlanta for work here in a couple weeks.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we have to go down and, man, I tell you what, like, there's so much that goes on with Cyclone Fanatic that even, like, you don't know about.
Yeah.
It's just trying to keep this site free and the digital advertising world just is constantly changing. And the biggest goal I have, right, like, I'm trying to make our site's performance better.
For sure.
For everybody. And we're doing that. Like, it's good. You guys are going to see a significant improvement over the next couple of months, probably next couple of weeks.
It's just hard to do anything like that during the seasons.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much going on. So that's why this time of year, I mean, I'm really locked into that. So Adam and I are going to Atlanta on April 12th.
Nice.
And then I'm going to mix in some pleasure.
Is Adam even a dad anymore?
Oh, yeah. we're going to mix in some pleasure while down there, though. We're going to go to the first Braves game in the new stadium.
Oh, nice.
So that'll be cool.
I saw you when we did our last podcast, it was Heartland Flags, and there was a flag on there I was going to say you should get. It was a chief head. It's
oh,
like,
nice.
I want to know how fast that you would be called a racist for putting that out on your front window.
World, I tell you. All right, A-plus Lawn and Landscape. They're bringing us all of our spring football coverage here at Cyclone Fanatic. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Enjoy the spring game. Should be a lot of fun. Later.